Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you were to put together a list of the smartest people in the world, you'd most likely come up with names like Newton, Tesla, Da Vinci, and Einstein. You would also most likely include Stephen Hawking on that list. Hawking was an English theoretical physicist, cosmologist, and author who was the director of research at the Center for Theoretical Cosmology at the University of Cambridge. He was, by any earthly standard, a brilliant man with a sharp intellect. I say was because he died last March. Hawking was an atheist. He did not believe in the God of the Scriptures. He did not believe that God the Father Almighty is the maker or the creator of all, nor did he believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, or the Holy Spirit, the giver and the perfecter of our faith. Hawking was a brilliant man, but not a man of faith in the triune God. I want to share a few quotes from an article that I just recently read. Hawking said, "God is the name people give to the reason we're here. But I think that the reason is the laws of physics rather than someone with whom we can have a personal relationship, an impersonal God." And again, though Hawking rejected the conventional notion of God or a creator, he fundamentally believed, according to the New York Times, that the universe and life have meaning. And he's quoted as saying, "Remember to look up at the stars and not down at your feet. Try to make sense of what you see and wonder about what makes the universe exist. Look up at the stars and not down at your feet." I wonder if this was the advice the wise men were following when they arrived at Bethlehem to find the newborn King of the Jews. Grab your bulletin this morning and look with me again at the text from Matthew today. I want you to take a look at particularly verses 1 and 2. When you read those verses, there are two things that I want to highlight. The first is this: Herod the Great is the king. This is a guy who is known to kill his wife and some of his family to secure his place of power. Herod is not the kind of king that you want to cross. The second is this: he is in Jerusalem, the civic and religious capital of the Jewish people. This is where the supposed wise men go looking for the new king. Third is this: I want you to notice the term wise men is one that we should use loosely. That's because the scriptures call them magi, which you find in brackets in the text today, which is translated to wise men. The magi were ones who practiced a strange blending of astrology, magic, science, and religion. And most likely these magi came from Persia or possibly Babylon, where they may have come in contact with the Jewish scriptures while the Jews were held there in exile years before. Now these wise men were not what you'd call pure worshipers of the one true God of the Israelites. They were not atheists like Hawking, but they were also not part of the people of Israel, not fellow worshipers of the one true God. These people were pluralistic, polytheistic pagans. They were the Gentiles, the Goyim, the nations whom the God of Israel would come to judge and destroy on the last day. So what on earth were they doing seeking the King of the Jews? Did their wisdom lead them to Jesus? Or are Hawking's words about looking to the stars a little more on the mark than he would have liked to have believed? Remember, earthly wisdom would dictate that if you're looking for a king, you would go to the capital city where the current king reigns, and you'd look for a child born in a royal family. And that's exactly what these magi do. But look, for all their learning and their wisdom, they don't realize the turmoil and the danger their actions have brought. It doesn't appear that the magi are aware that the newborn king is not actually Herod's son. If they had known that Jesus was not the son of Herod, it would have been the height of foolishness to come to Herod and ask about a rival king. From what we know about Herod how he was friendly with Rome, how he undertook huge public works projects, how he built the temple to make himself look good to the people, while at the same time he slaughtered political threats, even those of his own family. It's doubtful that these magi would have sought him out. So what's going on here? Well, something, someone, other than these magi's reason or strength, is calling them, leading them, gathering them, and enlightening them to the fact that the King of the Jews is born. A wisdom is being revealed that is not earthly, but heavenly. Gentiles are being led to the newborn king, guided by a star and influenced perhaps by the Jewish prophetic scriptures. The Holy Spirit leads through the means of the star to seek the Christ King in the courts of a tyrannical king crazed with power and prestige. In fact, these Gentile magi are coming to announce the good news of the Christ King to King Herod, current King of the Jews. Well, certainly, earthly wisdom would deem this foolish. And yet, it's all part of God's master plan of salvation for all, for Jew and for Gentile. Through the good news of Christ the King, the Holy Spirit will call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify those whom He will to the glory of God the Father. Well, this is most certainly true, but what does this all mean? First, it means that God is doing exactly what He has promised to do. The prophetic words recorded in the Scriptures are here coming to pass. The Messiah has come. The nations, all nations, are being gathered to Him, even the Magi. But look, they're bringing Him gifts, just as the Scriptures say. We read in Isaiah, "A multitude of camels shall cover you, your young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord." Through the unexpected voice of the Gentiles, the good news is being proclaimed. And look, this continues to be the case even in our day and age. For God is doing exactly what He has promised. The words spoken by Jesus the Christ are coming to pass. The gospel is now being proclaimed to all the nations, and the mystery of God's work is being revealed. He is making for Himself a new people over whom He reigns. Not a people that's based on ethnicity, not a people that is based on intellect or wisdom, but on faith to Him. Christ the King is making a new people for Himself that includes both Jews and Gentiles alike. People from all nations who, by faith, worship Christ the King, and He is still using His means to reveal His reign to His creation. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." Well, this hasn't changed since those words were written. Dr. Hawking would have you look at the stars, but he would not confess the one who made them. And yet God reveals His creative work in nature, and He is still revealing His saving work to mankind through the pages of the Holy Scriptures. The King still calls men to proclaim the good news of His righteous reign, even to those who might reject it. Now, it might seem foolish according to the wisdom of the world, but it's the power of salvation for all who believe. These are the means by which the Holy Spirit leads and guides sinners to Christ, the now crucified and risen King. And through these means, the Holy Spirit teaches us not to rely on our own wisdom or strength to believe in Christ Jesus our Lord. In fact, By the Scriptures, He leads us to place our earthly wisdom and intellect under the rule and reign of the King. Hawking had all the intellect of the world, yet did not see the universe in light of the God who made, redeems, and sanctifies all of His creation. Our intellect and reason are gifts of God, but like all the good gifts that the Lord has given, our own sin twists and turns it inward, so that rather than giving thanks to the one who gives the gifts and using it for the service of others, we pride ourselves in our learning, and we use it as an opportunity to look down upon others as if we were the stars in the sky guiding the foolish below. This should not be. Christ the King gives our gifts to be used for His purpose and for His glory. And by His gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, He leads us and empowers us to use them rightly. Consider how the Magi used their earthly gifts for the purpose and the glory of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about their so-called wisdom or intellect here. I'm talking about the physical gifts that they came to bring. They were costly gifts: gold, frankincense, myrrh, truly gifts fit for a king. The Magi traveled far and long to bring these gifts to the newborn king. It was no afterthought. They didn't travel all these miles with a spare chain that was in their pockets. And though the Christ King didn't need their gifts, for He's the King of the kings and Lord of the lords, and all things are His anyway, the gifts were used for the benefit of the Holy Family and for His kingdom. Scholars suggest that the gold may have been used to fund their trip and their exile in Egypt after King Herod goes on his killing spree. These gifts were not needed by the king, but they were used by the king for the preservation and for the advancement of His kingdom. And yet even still, the gifts that the Magi brought paled in comparison to the gifts that the Christ King has come to bring. Just look at how far Jesus traveled to bring His gifts. He travels the expanse of heaven, and look, His arrival was according to the Father's plan that was full of forethought. As the Apostle Paul says, the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Look, the effort and the great cost the king paid to bring His gifts to all. For through the innocent suffering and death of the king, the gifts of forgiveness, of sin, life, and salvation were paid in full by His holy precious blood. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, this isn't simply a thing of the past. For Christ comes to bring His gifts to you today. Now, earthly wisdom says that on the altar is bread and wine. But the king says, this is my body and my blood given for you. And so it is. Here is the king who is present to deliver you from sin and death. Here is the king who reigns over you in love and service here and now. Here is the king who made you His people by faith. Here is the king who has called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified you by the Holy Spirit. Here is the king who gives you gifts more costly than gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For here Jesus gives you Himself. So when we bring our gifts to the king, shouldn't it also be with forethought? Might it require effort? May it be costly as we give in proportion to our incomes? Should our gifts be change in our pockets? Not because the Christ King needs our money, but because we are thankful for the gifts that He has given us. Because we know where our daily bread comes from. Because we know that the King uses our gifts to proclaim His kingdom here in this place and throughout the world. These things are seen and received in faith, not by your own wisdom and strength. This day, as you hear again the familiar story of the Magi following the star in faith, I would pray that your eyes of faith would be open to see that just as in this account, God is ultimately in control. In the midst of a world where tyrannical kings crazed with power and prestige live, in the midst of a world where wise men act not so wisely, God's will is still done. His will is done on earth as it is in heaven as we pray. God sent the wise men away, warning them about Herod. God sent the Holy Family to Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod, poured out on the children in Bethlehem and the surrounding regions. And even in the midst of such tragedy, God is still in control. For the Christ King has come to save and redeem His creation from sin and death by facing the wrath of God on our behalf. And this is wonderful news for us today. In light of growing persecution and slaughter of Christians in the world, in light of tragedy and injustice in our nation, in light of grief and sorrows in your own homes, look, behold, God is still in control. Jesus, the Christ King, lives and reigns. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Look, you who were once far off from God, who were once cut off and alienated from God because of your sin, you are now the people of God. Jesus doesn't love you because of your greatness, because of your gifts, or because of your wisdom. He loves you because he made you. And he has given everything, even his very life, that you would be his own, and that he might reign over you as you live in his kingdom in all holiness, innocence, and blessedness, now and forever. You need not be listed among the smartest or the wisest people in the world to see this. Well, the fact of the matter is you see this and believe it because the Holy Spirit has called you through the gospel of Christ Jesus. And he's not an impersonal God, as Hawking claimed, but a God who knows you personally. A God who led Magi by a star and who leads you by the means of grace. And that, dear people of God, is what and who makes you wise in God's eyes. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our God and our King. Amen.